Welcome to the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. Today's topic is incorporating science in your homeschool. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, author and founder of inspirationalhomeschooling.com. You're listening to Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. I'm speaking with Cindy. And she is with Homeschool Science Colorado. We are talking about preparing for the National Science Homeschool Competition, and they are representing homeschoolers, and they are going to be preparing for the National Science Competition at Science Olympiad in Kansas next month. And also, we'll talk about concerns that parents have about homeschooling high school later on. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you, Yvonne. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's so good to have you here. I'm just so thankful that you can come and talk about the Science Olympiad and the Homeschool Science Colorado. So can you share a little bit about that with our audience?
Certainly. Homeschool Science Colorado is a local homeschooled Science Olympiad team that is based in El Paso County. Science Olympiad is a national organization. There are about 6,000 teams across the nation. The majority of them are formed within more traditional institutional schools and charter schools. But they did invite homeschoolers if they could get together 15 kids to compete. We compete mostly with these institutional schools. Science Olympiad is, it was formed by a couple of professors who felt, you know, science fairs are wonderful. They give these kids a chance to do some research and do a presentation, but it's very limited. It tends to be done alone. It tends to be a kind of a short-term project, and then you're done. Wouldn't it be great, they thought, if we could give these kids the same experience that a football team or a soccer team has, where they have a full season of competition and they get to be part of a team. And so that's how Science Olympiad was born. Every year, they give us a slate of 23 events, and they range different areas of science from biology to earth and space science to chemistry and physics to engineering, and students take on three or four of those events and compete against all the other schools within the state and occasionally within the nation.
Well, that is really interesting. I've noticed they have all kinds of different ways that they can compete, and you mentioned engineering and some of the different sessions. And so can you just delve deeper into some of those different areas and what that looks like?
Sure. There are three main kinds of events. The first are knowledge events. And in a knowledge event, you are assigned a topic and it's normally broken down. For example, astronomy. So astronomy is incredibly broad, and they like to keep it broad, but then they'll narrow it and give you specific subjects that they want you to focus on that year. And you study, and you prepare materials, and you research, and then you take a test. So that's one type of event. A second type of event is a lab event, where you prepare, and then you're in a laboratory actually conducting an experiment during the course of the competition. The third type of event is a build event. These are the more engineering type events where you're given parameters. Like, for example, this year we had bridges where you were said your bridge could be this wide, this tall. And the idea was to build the lightest bridge possible that could hold up to 15 kilograms of sand and with hopefully without breaking. So those are the three types. And then we also have events that are both lab and test or build and test.
Okay, so how does the lab and test or the build and test work?
In my opinion, those are the most difficult events because you have to have both pieces and they both have to be good. So, for example, there was an event called Hovercraft where they were tested on what's called the physics of kinematics, which is just the physics of motion. So that was the test. But they also had to actually build a hovercraft vehicle. And this event ran for 2 years. The first year, the goal was to control the speed and to get across a course at a set amount of time. The second was, how much can you get your hovercraft to carry? What load can it carry? But you had to have both pieces. You had to be good on the test, and you had to have a good device in order to do well on the event. And then for the labs, A lot of times there's a laboratory portion where they're like, this time, I mean, this competition, it was, they were doing what's called a titration. And one of the event pair is working on the titration while the other is doing a knowledge-based test. And hopefully the lab person gets done fast enough that they can help out the person who's doing the test.
That's great. Now, you are the head coach of Homeschool Science Colorado. So, can you share? I mean, you have a science background. Can you share kind of how you got into this position and how you're serving those kids?
I got into this position reluctantly. Homeschool Science Colorado has been in existence for 15 years, and there was an amazing coach before me who actually formed the team. Her name was Kelly Bell, and she coached for 10 years. And we joined while she was still coach. It was Hudson, my son, was 11 years old and going into middle school. And up to that point, we had tried to keep our homeschooling very home-based. But as he was heading into middle school, I was like, you know, son, we should probably start looking for a way to invest your time that will pay dividends. I know of the science team because I knew Kelly from other homeschooling circles. Want to give it a try. So when he was 11, he and I joined the team. And he was in his third year, Kelly said, I am going to retire. And so we had just started to see some of the amazing benefits from the team that it was the best science course ever. Kids tend to reach farther and try harder and study things they never would have dreamed they could even do because there's a competition involved. It goes so far beyond just a normal curriculum that we didn't want to see that end. So when they were searching for a new coach, I very reluctantly said yes. Like most homeschool moms, I felt like I already had a full-time job just homeschooling my kids. But I'm glad I did. Though the first few years were tough because coaching is just not in my wheelhouse. I'm a scientist, not an organizer, and a lot of the administration was very difficult initially. I see the benefits for the kids. I see the impact it's having on the kids. I have many parents tell me, you know, my science or engineering-minded child feels like they found their people, that this is where they belong. They feel like they're included and accepted here. Which is great. Though I will say, not every child on the team is by any means strongly scientific. Some of them join because they want to just kick their science education to another level, even though that probably won't be their pursuit later in life. But most of them, they do become scientists, engineers, doctors, nurses.
Oh wow. It has to be so fulfilling to be able to help the kids in this field and then seeing where they go. And I was also thinking, you know, you had talked about you were very reluctant in, you know, taking on this role. So I'm thinking, oh, you know, you have six kids. Were they all home at that point?
They were, I've been doing this for 5 years, so my oldest was just graduating high school, so I still had five that were actively being homeschooled at that time. So, you know, this is one of the things when we talk about homeschooling through high school is if we don't want to end up with our kids in institutions, I think as parents, we have to step up. We have to say, you know, look, you help me, I'll help you. We can get our kids through this and give them an excellent education from our living rooms. But sometimes as we get into high school, I'm finding more and more that, oh, I hate to say it, but it does, we need each other to get through. I have found that a lot of my parents are very reluctant to teach physical sciences like physics and chemistry. They'll teach biology, they'll teach anatomy and physiology, but those two scare them. And so that's one of the things I've done on top of coaching is I've begun teaching those to help these homeschooled kids stay homeschooled and still get that science foundation that they really need in high school, especially those that intend to pursue the sciences as they go into higher education.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that is one of the things that we think about is homeschooling high school. It's very hard for a lot of parents to even contemplate. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about homeschooling high school. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the Huntington Way Show. And you are listening to Power Talk 1040 AM. 98.5 FM and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, and I'm speaking with Cindy Puhak, and she's from Homeschool Science, Colorado, and we're going to talk about the concerns that parents have when homeschooling high school. So welcome back, Cindy. What concerns do you see that parents are asking about homeschooling high school?
Well, I think parents get very concerned as their kids head into subject matter, especially subject matter maybe they themselves struggled with when they were in high school. You'll hear even younger parents as they're looking ahead saying, well, how will I ever teach calculus? How will I ever teach chemistry? It was the bane of my existence when I was in school. So I think that is a huge concern. I think there's also the concern of, am I doing enough? Am I doing what needs to be done to adequately prepare my student as they head off to institutionalized schooling or to a higher education?
Yeah, that's definitely a concern that I've had with my kids as well, is making sure that they have everything that they need and I'm preparing them well for college. And so can you talk about some of the things that are needed for college and for those science courses?
Well, I think one of the biggest gifts we can give our students is a gift of independence. And it's something you have to kind of work towards, but the more independent the student is going into high school years, the easier those high school years are. I think another thing is every one of my students who have graduated, and I've graduated two, about to graduate a third, and then I have one right behind him, each of their high schools have been individualized. No two have looked alike at all, because they each have different giftings and callings, and they start to figure out what that is as they're headed that way. So for some, it emphasized one, and for, I say my artist daughter went to a school for the visual arts. I have a daughter who's at a school for the performing arts, and my son was at a science magnet school. And so we tried to emphasize those giftings just like they would if they were at those actual institutions. You know, if you're at a school for the performing arts, they're going to make sure you have the time to practice that you want on your instrument or at whatever craft you're working on. For science, I wanted to make sure he was not reading, you know, huge novels and not have time to take the sciences and the mathematics that were truly his passion. So while both got both, what was emphasized was different for every child. And the other thing was, my kids were relatively independent. I've had two kids complete calculus, and I have people ask me, how did you teach calculus? And the answer was, I didn't. I handed them a book. Now, if they had wanted a class or needed a class, I would have found them one. They're out there, even classes online that are by homeschoolers for homeschoolers, but they didn't. They're like, just give me the book, especially a book that was written for homeschoolers. My son has recently, he finished the Math UC calculus curriculum, but he still had most of his senior year left. So I was like, well, let's find you another calculus curriculum. This one was not written for homeschoolers, and the difference was very stark. You could tell this one was written for the instructor, for the students to use. Now, thankfully, he already had the foundation, and he's working his way through it. But that book, a homeschooler independently would have had a very difficult time getting through. Whereas the homeschool curriculum, no problem whatsoever, because it's explained and broken down in a way that they assume you don't have a subject matter expert sitting there.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that in homeschooling, we can look at their gifts and their passions and really work toward that. So as you're working with your kids and, you know, working toward their passions, what are some of the different things that you have done? I know you have the son now that you guys are providing all the science background. And so you have the Science Olympiad, you have some of the courses that you're working through. What are some of the other things that you know of that can just really enhance that and prepare them for the college?
Well, I think if a parent prayerfully approaches things, I know for my artist daughter, my husband and I are both scientists. We have looked at her more than once. It's like, we're sorry. Because we don't understand her. We don't understand her passions and some of her giftings. But God provided. He provided a mentor for her. And it was a fellow homeschooler who just stood up, offering classes, took my daughter under her wings, and we have been just floored with how well she has done in college and how well this mentor prepared her. That it wasn't just, let's go do some art. It was, she was systematically training them in ways that we didn't even realize till she was in college. That's like, oh, I know how to do this. Oh, I know how to do this. I was taught how to do this and this and this. And that mentorship in an area that I had no idea, I could not have done, given my daughter that, has inspired me to try to give that in the scientific field to other families as well. It's one of the reasons I'm the coach of Homeschool Science Colorado, and it's one of the reasons that our team offers classes, including a chemistry class with a lab, where we do well more than 8 labs. We do like 32 over the course because the kids need this foundation. And a lot of the parents were like, it's not in my wheelhouse, I can't do it. And I'm starting to realize it's in mine. And I have a responsibility to give to this community as a whole, not just to my own kids.
I really love that. And there's so many homeschool parents that are out there, and we each have different passions and ways that we can minister to each other's kids. And I love that we can do, put our passions to work by just helping other families. And I love that you do that. That's really sweet. Now, when we're working on homeschooling, it's great that we can rely on other people too. And I know you had mentioned earlier also about just kind of giving those kids through their passions that camaraderie. Can you speak to that?
It's one of the neat aspects of Homeschool Science Colorado is the kids are part of a team. And it's amazing sitting around just being a fly on the wall listening to them, because these are the kids that sit around and talk about quantum physics over pizza. And where do you, they find people that this is not only welcome but encouraged, and they are a very unique, amazing group. Or they're sitting around talking about infectious diseases and how to cure them. Or they're completely geeking out over rocks and minerals that they might see a rock formation and they're all excited about it because this is something that they have diligently studied as part of one of their events. So the friendships that form, and it's something that as a coach I actively pray that they will become friends. Because the team is much richer when they do. And we have wonderful team spirit this year. The kids get along great.
Oh, that is great. So I'm thinking, I'm thinking about like-mindedness and joining these kids together. And I've talked about in past podcasts about maybe some of these homeschoolers feeling kind of lonely or, not developing those deeper friendships. And it sounds like Homeschool Science Colorado is one of those ways that can help. And I've noticed even with my kids that, if you get them in a group with like-minded individuals, it is huge. And so I'm so thankful that we have all of these options out there. And I'm very thankful for Homeschool Science Colorado and what you do, Cindy. So I want to thank you for reassuring our listeners that homeschool graduates can be well prepared for college and future jobs and even in the challenging field of science. This is Yvonne Strawn, today's host on the Huntington Way Show, where we support you in educating your kids. But before we go, I want you to share where listeners can find out more information about Homeschooling Science Colorado.
Okay, so you can find us at homeschoolsciencecolorado.com is our website, or you can contact us at homeschoolsciencecolorado@gmail.com. And real quick, our alumni are all over the country, doing amazing things in the field of science. And right now, they're at some of the top institutions in the country, including the Air Force Academy, Virginia Tech, and the School of Mines.
Oh, that is amazing. Thank you so much. You are listening to Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube.